Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Craving some great 80s music? Play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. I want your love. On DAB digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk. I got my mind set on
you. Even if we're just dancing in the dark.
Love Chris Evans. Woo! Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio
80s Plus.
Well, everybody's very excited now, aren't they? There's more than a frisson around the building. This building fits 3,500 people in here, and every single one of them knows who's sitting opposite me right now and when he was coming in, and they've known for days and they've been counting down. Who am I talking about, Vassos?
He may. Tongues wagging W1A, hearts throbbing Bridgerton, and now he's setting pulses racing in his latest show. The new historical romance series Fellow Travellers is available now on Paramount Plus. So we're answering many prayers as we give us this day our daily Jonathan Bailey!
Jonathan!
What an introduction.
Hello. How are you, mate?
I'm very good, Chris. Really good.
Look at that smile. You're smiling, you're laughing naughtily, because you know I have to interview you now about your new programme, about your new show. I wasn't ready for it, I've got to be honest. Were you ready for it, Vassos?
So it was on the big laptop.
Yeah.
And my 10-year-old daughter was in the next room, but the doors were open because it sort of came from... Oh, I know. Please let Mary not be in the room now.
Yeah, and by the way, Mary, Vassos' 10-year-old daughter, does review certain things for the show. She reviewed Charlie P. Brooks' new book for the show. She ain't reviewing this, mate.
Nope. She's not allowed anywhere near it.
Rachel, your
so
story.
In the kitchen, on the laptop, youngest child just home from primary school. No. Mute! Mute button! Where's the volume?
Well, at least with a laptop, you can slam the screen down, I suppose.
All of that. Oh, my gosh. I was
eject
on my own.
Button.
And I felt the same way.
Yeah.
I was just on my own on the sofa. Nobody else in the house. And I was like, oh, oh. This is funny. We've never had this conversation about something we've had to watch for the show before. Thank you for that.
It's all right. I can, you know, I bring what I can.
Right, but we still haven't alluded to anything. It's about people are going, what the heck are you talking about? Why don't you frame it for us if you don't mind?
It's a series called Fellow Travellers, which chronicles a love story over 40... years, really, or 4 decades. And it looks into something called the Lavender Scare, which happened in the 50s in American federal government, where basically gay people were flushed out.
Yeah.
And it was a witch hunt. And it was linked to the communist scare. It's a fascinating and very dark moment in history. And it follows two characters that meet at that time. And then, and you follow their love story over.
So you play who to whom?
I play Tim, who's a young, sort of idealistic Catholic boy from Staten Island, and he falls for Hawkins Fuller, played by the sort of divine Matt Bomer, who is in federal government, and he's very cool and calm, and he lives a double life with a wife at home. But they have this sort of beautiful, tender love story that, is explosive, really.
Okay, and your character is also ambitious because?
Because he loves...
But the world he's in, he also because he's into politics.
Yeah, he's
so they
into
meet
politics.
By their love of politics.
Yeah, they meet at a sort of fundraising gala for McCarthy. So it's as McCarthy comes in and follows McCarthyism, and he gets him a job in McCarthy's office.
Yeah, because your character, he's not on the bottom rung of the ladder. He's not even seen the ladder yet, has he?
No. Well, and Hawkins sort of shows him quite a few things, including the ladder. and he sort of manages to get him a job so that he can spy really on his behalf.
I didn't spot the ladder. There was a ladder
he
there
slowly
somewhere.
Slowly climbs up
oh
over
my gosh,
eight
it's
episodes.
It's so good, mate. It is such a good programme, isn't it? It's so gripping. It is very explicit. It's very raunchy. It's Bridgerton 2.0 from an explicit, intimate scale. And the guy who wrote it and directed it is also the man behind the multi-Academy Award-winning Philadelphia with Tom Hanks. And you've talked about the parallels, haven't you?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, what an incredible film that also deals with... basically, Tim and Hawk live through these moments of queer liberation, and it studies how social attitudes have changed towards gay men, as well as, you know, I guess the way that they've been marginalised and oppressed. And Philadelphia dealt with the AIDS epidemic really beautifully.
And we get there with this, don't
we? Yeah, and you quickly are introduced to Tim and Hawk in the 80s, and then you sort of work backwards. So there's multiple timelines, but it's a very rich sort of Mad Men-esque sort of thriller as well. But it's...
Yeah, and the time-lapse, or not time-lapse, I don't know how you describe it, but the sort of time machine aspect of it, if you like, isn't chaotic at all. It's actually very simple. I like that.
And it's achieved by brilliant production design and costume design, and it's a real nostalgia piece as well.
Yeah. So. And you talk about Tom Hanks and the fact that they chose Tom Hanks for the lead role in Philadelphia, because that's an important part of the backstory of how films and gay stories are getting made nowadays differently to how they were, how they sort of had to be, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, I think at that point, in order for Ron to have made that film, and Mark Platt also produced it, who now produced Wicked, which is what I'm doing. They would have had to have got a very, you know, A-list straight actor to play those parts. And the thing about Fellow Travellers, which is to be celebrated, is that, you know, both Matt and I and Jelani and Noah and the leads of the series are out gay actors. So there's an element of, you know, authenticity, which you invite the audience to go and to enjoy, really.
I think. And the sex scenes are phenomenal. That's what they are. I would say they're phenomenal. Mm-hmm. What's funny, and there's lots of funny stuff going on in and around it, and lots of extremely serious and extremely sad stuff as well going on around it, is the fact that the genius behind it, the chap you just referred to there, Ron, the writer and the director, and the exec producer, I think, he said he didn't want to repeat a single gay sex scene once. So they all had to be different. And they sort of had their own sort of side hustle sex scene writing challenge to themselves.
Yeah.
He said, but we were so good at it, by the eighth episode, we were sort of running out of options.
Yeah. Well, if there's anyone who always has an extra option, it's Ron. His brain is fantastic and he's got an amazing life experience. But yeah, I just think, you know, you wanted to match the richness of the detail of the political landscape and how that adapts, and also how, you know, sexually, you know, how people interact does evolve over time, especially with the world that they exist in.
Because I thought, oh, there's a power play here, and there was to a certain extent, but then there's certain vulnerability to
Hawkins Fuller.
Hawkins, that's him. You know, and you think, oh, he has got a tender side to him. Is he willing to talk about his past, because he seems to be very secretive, but then he realises that he's in love with your character, and therefore, if he wants this to carry on, suddenly the tables are turned and he has to give more of himself up than he would otherwise choose or want to choose to do.
It's kind of a beautiful and perfect storm between the two of them, because they are
amazing.
So opposing in the way that they approach life. But, you know, there's such jeopardy for these characters living in that world where, you know, you'd lose your job, you'd lose your family if you were outed. So the stakes are so high that, of course, when it comes to the intimacy, it's so important and vital for them to connect and to sort of try and, you know, fight for a love that everyone else is so afforded because they're not oppressed by the government.
Yeah, and then there's the Catholic Church thing brought into it as well.
Intersection, yeah. There's so many dreamy things going on.
Yeah, I mean, it's complicated, but it's not complex. Because complex means you, as a viewer or as an engineer or whatever it is, you can't really get to the bottom of it. Because somebody described to me once the difference between complexity and something that's complicated. Because something that's complex becomes complicated. So if something's complicated, basically what it means in engineering terms is that if there's something that's been put together, if you take it apart and you lay everything out in front of you and then you put it back together in the reverse order you dismantled it, it's complicated.
Right.
If there are hidden mysteries in there and you can't do that, then it's complex. And I think that your show is complicated, but it's not complex.
Yeah. I agree. And also it's human, you know? It's like, and I think it's so sort of well-researched, and it's a real, like, invite for an audience, like, to go and watch it. I know that if I hadn't have been in it, I would have just lapped up every hour of those eight episodes.
Yeah, I mean, it's already aired in America, hasn't it? And so Tell us how it landed there. Tell us what the sort of the effect of the reaction has been on the program, on you guys who made it.
Well, you know, it's the first time I've worked in North America after, you know, and obviously doing something like Bridgerton affords you that sort of luxury, but it's been amazing. And, you know, we've been there for award season and it sort of has taken in nominations and awards across sort of Golden Globes and SAG Awards.
And so much love for it.
So much love for it.
Yeah.
And also you realise how front-footed and sort of pioneering it is to have this sort of prestige TV element to the content and the gay storyline. But then on top of that, you get people across the world who have managed to watch it. This is the brilliant thing about streaming platforms. And people who are still living under those sorts of conditions where, you know, to be gay is to, you know, be put in prison or to be killed, even worse. And so people are responding to it in a very personal level. And there's also loads of women who are messaging saying, for the first time, I am seeing, you know, my story of being married to someone who's been in the closet, or and I'm understanding it, and my dad was gay and my mum was gay and I've seen it. So it's a really, you know, it's really amazing to be in something that not only is sort of cathartic for you as a performer to go and learn all this stuff about the people that came before you, but then to know that it's affecting people and as is the sort of, you know, they're responding to it and it's sort of healing. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a dream role, not in a frivolous way, but it's just such a rich role for you, isn't it? I would imagine.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's nothing. Yeah. There's a lot to like nibble on.
Yeah.
There is a lot to nibble on.
How much carry on was going on around the set in the lighter parts of filming?
Well, you know, I mean, you have to, because there were so many really passionate moments, and also a lot of there's a lot of darkness in it, but then the joy of being there, and, you know, obviously it's
here we go again,
moments of absolute hilarity. But when you're doing something which is that demanding, especially for Matt and I, and he was brilliant just as a leader, but also as a scene partner. But, you know, you just sort of, you have to dig in. And there's a weight of responsibility that I felt, you know, telling the stories that we don't get these opportunities often to tell the stories of our forefathers who have come before, you know, and how recent a history that is.
It's brilliant. I wonder why Paramount Plus didn't put it out at the same time across the planet, because that's usually the way nowadays.
Yeah, it is. I know. I think they... Yeah,
we're the beneficiaries of that, because we can, you know, when you see something great and then you've been working with somebody for a couple of years and you realize, oh, they haven't seen it. Oh, and then you're not like, oh, poor you. You're like, oh no, poor me, because you've yet to see this.
I know.
So we've got all that to cover.
I know. There's nothing better as a gift to be able to say to your mate, you need to watch the series, and watch it.
Yeah.
You know, having with no context.
Oh, we're gonna watch all of them. Don't you worry about that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on, let
it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
O to B. A gay man in North America in November 2023. What happened in that?
I mean, it was kind of, yeah, it was shocking. I sort of have spoken to one journalist about it, but I went to Washington, D.C., which is also where, you know, this series is set. And Matt Bomer was awarded presented with an award for his charity work. And I went to go and tee up and introduce him. And it was an amazing night, a big American gala. I felt completely activated and galvanized, amazing people coming forward and telling their stories. And, you know, in America, these charities and foundations are supported with such sort of, you know, and as here, but I it was the first time I could feel that energy.
Vim and vigour.
Totally. And I woke up the next morning super early, obviously because of jet lag, and I went for a walk and the sun was out and I was like, this is brilliant. And, you know, Fellow Travellers hadn't come out and I just thought, God, this is so vital, actually. This is all brilliant and it's important and it's great. And I went into a coffee shop and I got a coffee and there was a guy behind me, an American guy, who, you know, obviously had seen that I was wearing a human rights campaign cap from the night before that I'd been given. And he just said... get out of my country, you queer. And he took my hat and he threw it across the room. And, yeah, I mean, it was really, obviously, incredibly distressing. He said, you know, where I'm from, people like me kill people like you. And I asked him where that was from, and he said he's from Pennsylvania. But, you know, the experience of that is not uncommon. And it's, you know, usually it's experienced even in the West as sort of microaggressions, but that was such an explicit act of terror. And it sort of obviously rippled through me, but also the people who are in the coffee shop.
Yeah.
It's not just about gay people who get hurt and wounded and told that they're worth nothing in those moments.
Yeah.
It's the people who are witnessing it as well. And it was so shocking that there was, it galvanized the people in the coffee shop. We stayed and we chatted for about 3 hours and we were sort of bonded by it. And I took their emails and there was an amazing woman called Angela, who was a young student. And she stepped in between us and got her phone out. And she said, I'm recording this and I do not stand by with what you're saying. You are welcome in this country. And it was such a simple but very brave and courageous act. And you realise that the other guy was there with his wife and he was like, I just thought that was a candid TV. You know, like, it's so terrifying when those things happen that the animal in you goes to what you've been cultured to think it might be, which is a hidden camera show or it's a social experiment. But it wasn't, it was real. And, you know, I just thought, hang on, this man from Pennsylvania, that is someone's uncle, father, brother, teacher. You know, if you have those people around you as a child and you have that on the day to day being drip fed that belief system, knowing something about yourself, it's impossible to grow, it's impossible to live a happy life, and it's tragic. And that's in the West, and we are in the best, the most pinnacle. This is the safest place in theory in the world to be,
and the most open-minded apparently.
Yeah. And then you think about the trans community and you think about what they're experiencing. You know, I'm a white gay man, which is the peak of the privilege of or the LGBTQ plus family.
And you're gorgeous.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, makeup people to like polish me. But
by
the way,
can I just say you are rocking one of the greatest coats I've ever seen.
Thank you.
That might be second only to the pink dress coat that Ryan Gosling wore on the front cover of GQ to promote the Barbie movie. Did you see that shot?
I did.
How great was that coat?
Incredible.
Do you know him?
I don't. I've never met Ryan Gosling.
Where's that coat?
This coat is actually made by American Vintage, which is apt for Fellow Travellers.
Mate, you are rocking a great look. The irony continues about a journalist full of skullduggery and ambition threatening to out you as a straight man.
I know, yeah.
Tell us that story.
Well, I can't work out if this is progress or not, but yeah. I was filming Wicked and I went to Wimbledon with, as you do, with Ariana Grande, because she was in Wicked and we went and it was
which
just...
Which is about to come out.
It's going to come out at the end of the year. It's going to be brilliant.
Very excited about that.
Cynthia Erivo and her are brilliant in it. And it was just so funny and really interesting to have a call come through to, you know, an agent. And they just said, look, we've got it on great authority that Jonathan's actually straight.
How funny is that?
So I think I might be the first.
It is.
I think
progress.
I might be one of the first actors.
Yeah,
you know,
you're doing them a favour by calling it progress, but I suppose it is.
Well,
isn't
in a
it?
Way, I mean, yeah, if you can, yeah, I mean, what an amazing way to sort of undermine
square the circle,
the whole, like, my whole sort of like experience of having to.
Oh, it's crazy. So some big fun filming scenes, some big fun party scenes, even in episode one. Where were you shooting? What I presume would be like the Hamptons or somewhere. Where was it?
We were all in Toronto, which they actually call Canada the sort of Hollywood of the North, because so many series go there. I loved Canada, and I loved working there, and the nature and
the vibe.
The vibe, it's very sort of kind and the industry there is just brilliant. And so we shot around Toronto in a studio, and then we went to Virginia just to get some of the exterior shots to sort of sell.
Did you get some digs? Did you get a hotel? Did you get a little house, or what did you get?
I did. I stayed in a little house. I had loads of friends, friends and family come out. Yeah, it was brilliant. And Trinity Bellwoods Park in Toronto.
There's a whole industry, isn't there, about getting people houses when they're making movies so they feel like they're in a home from home.
Yeah. So. Yeah, well, it's important to, I think, when you're doing something like this as well, just to feel as grounded as you can.
I've only watched episode one. Anybody go any further last night? No, I had to, I had to go to bed to recover.
Did you?
Well, the thing is, because at the end, this isn't a spoiler, because it's only a spoiler to what happens 3 minutes before it. But at the end of episode one, a phone rings.
Yes.
Yes.
And you really want to watch episode two.
Because of course you do.
Because it ends with the phone ringing.
Yeah. And you know it's going to ring. Because you think, well, there's no series otherwise. Well, no. You know it's going to ring. It's so analogue as a cliffhanger compared to cliffhangers nowadays. But it's still absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
Isn't it?
There's a way that Ron has magically been able to make it incredibly sort of hooky and poppy as well as really important. So, yeah.
All right, Rachel.
I would like to know, what was your favourite bit of the Americana paraphernalia? Because that was, I just loved it. Just the whole look, the set, so the clothes, the accessories,
I
the cars.
Yeah, well, Joseph Lecourt, who's the costume designer, I think he's like, it was a tour de force from him. But looking at the sort of, you know, and being envious of the tailoring of the 50s, it's so sort of chic and sexy as well, the sort of the lines of the jackets.
Very Mad Men.
Very Mad Men, which I loved that series.
Did you get to keep any of the jackets?
I snuck away quite a few things, yeah. In fact, two big boxes full of...
This is proper, I mean, they were
tailored for you, so who else is there?
Exactly, I know. And also, you know, it was mainly the 80s stuff, actually, that was so...
They do take this into consideration now when they discuss actors' fees. They go, well, they're going to nick about 50 grand worth of stuff.
I know,
so we'll knock that off.
Take 80% of their fee off.
You mentioned Wimbledon, and they have to do the same with the players and the towels, because all their friends want towels from Wimbledon.
Is that fact?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
turn them down.
Hundo, yeah. And the players are sort of glory in how many towels they managed to nick.
Oh, wow. Anything else you'd like to say about it? Please just tell us something else about this amazing show of yours.
Oh, wow. Well, it's available to watch. I think it's probably one of the... It's just rare. I think it's a very rare piece of television. And I think everyone who's involved in it will be forever one of their highlights of their careers. And actually, Ron, who I spoke to him on Zoom... I was doing a play and we spoke for about an hour, and he just said, you know, I've been working on this for 10 years and I think this might be my legacy project. And I was like, I think anyone you invite to come on board for this, it will be their legacy project too, yeah.
And do you not get this without Bridgerton? I don't know the timeline of everything.
No, well, this sort of popped up around the time of Bridgerton, the second series coming out.
Right.
And it's just amazing that these opportunities come when they do. Because you can be available, but, you know, something as brilliant as
that. It's true, isn't it? So Bridgerton gets you here. Where does here get you, maybe, do you think?
Oh, I have no idea. I really don't know. I know that I'm really excited to get back on stage.
Right.
And also, it's just the people that you work with. That's what I'm, you know, it's not no surprises, is it? And I'm sure you know this, but, like, it's the people that you meet along the way that you click with. You're like, that's who you want to work with. The real creatives as well.
It's the value of things, not the price of things. It's the value of experiences, not the price of experiences.
It's that
kind of thing. Without getting into objectivity, we do have to talk about the fact that you did look extremely fit for a lot of episode one.
I know. Well,
can we just talk about that a little bit, if that's all right?
Of course.
Because it's part of the... Of course it is.
I know. And, well, it's also, you know, I was filming Bridgerton series three at the same time.
Right.
And I was already sort of gearing up for Bridgerton.
What does that mean, gearing up?
Well, gearing up in terms of in the Bridgerverse is, you know, you start sort of going to the gym a bit and getting ready.
Yeah, a bit. Yeah. Jeez, wish I could go a bit, like you go clearly up for a bit. What happens at the gym? I mean, what is the, say you have a Bridgerton, you're starting on Fellow Travellers. Are we looking at 6 months? Are we looking at 3 months? And how does it start? And do you get to a point where it becomes automatic? And how does it feel to be that fit?
Well, for series two of Bridgerton, I mean, you just get... there was a level of fitness, I think, that you get to. And then, for me, I've always been really active.
Right.
And I think going to the gym was... I'd never really got into the routine of that. But it becomes... It also serves another purpose. Obviously... You know, you're aesthetically wanting to deliver for a romance genre, which is elevated in all these ways. But then it becomes a really lovely sort of like discipline that you can lean into, because, you know, filming is really, you've got to be sort of available and ready, and you have to commit in
on standby.
So, yeah, and those times that you go to the gym are where you can really like sort of.
Yeah, it's that great, that lovely affirmation that discipline doesn't come from stability. Stability comes from discipline.
Yeah,
you know, and if you are physically disciplined, the great Guy Chambers put on Instagram last night, the great songwriter Guy Chambers.
Yeah, yeah.
He put his 5 tips for creativity from his studio. It's a really cool Instagram post, actually. And he says, tip number 1, self-care. You know, and it's so important, isn't it? And if you are in that strong and stable position, and we know that the feeling body is stronger than the thinking mind, and people say, no, that's the other way around. Well, that's because you haven't got a feeling body, because your body's out of shape, so therefore your thinking mind has literally got a head start. But if you take all that fitness and that stability to work with you, and your main co-star is in a similar frame of mind and body, that can only... the performance can only benefit from that.
I think you're right. I think also as a creative, you have to give so much of yourself, actually. Yeah. And it is really, you know, it's, the sex scenes aren't the most vulnerable bit. It's the bits where you have to lie on your deathbed and you know, you have to have these really, you know, have to look into someone's eyes that, you know, and drum up this sense of 40 years of love. Like, they're the bits that are really... And so, yeah, of course you have to look after yourself. And actually, I've learned that discipline from theatre, I think, because you can't do 8 shows a week and not look after yourself. So, yeah, I think the body and the mind, I think, is right. You put that first and then the rest.
The eyes yesterday being the only internal organ that you can see on the outside, because they are internal organs. Apparently, they're like the testicles of your brain. Do you know this? They dropped from the brain. That's what they did. They dropped from the brain so your brain could see outside of your body. That's why that's how our eyes evolved. And, you know, as far as that's concerned, as far as those aesthetics is concerned, when you are acting... And it's all in the eyes, well, especially in the close-ups.
Yeah, yeah. The eyes.
They are the windows to your soul, mm-hmm. right? So, are you acting from the soul?
Yeah, I mean, I think when it's really good, yeah, I think you can
you feel
see.
That.
There is an alchemy that happens when the writing's really brilliant. You're given really good direction and enough space, and you're working opposite. You know, it's just like dialing in. Much like, I'm sure, when you're sometimes in radio show, you must finish a show and you're like, God, that flew by. And actually,
yesterday we said that, didn't we?
Did you? Yeah. Yeah. And also in the room, there's an alchemy between the three of you. You go, God, we're really on fire.
Yeah.
And that's how you, that's, and that presumably feels different for everyone, but it's whatever that is, feels sort of soulful.
It's a real pleasure to talk to you about this.
Well, you too.
It's amazing. It's an amazing show. I can't wait. I can't wait to watch it. You've got to watch this, guys. Paramount Plus. If you have a telly and you don't have Paramount Plus, then sell your telly, because there's no point in you having it, because you can't watch this show. Go around somebody else's. And with the money you got from selling your telly, get some popcorn and watch the rest of this show, because it's so good, man. It's so good. When do awards start happening with regards to this?
Well, it's already been... I mean, in America, we're sort of coming off the back of it.
Of course you
actually.
Are.
Yeah. So it's been a learning curve to be a part of that. But also, just it is amazing for it to be celebrated on... as by the viewer, by the industry as well, and then also by critics. And
right, that's great.
Yeah.
Is there anything we've not said about it that we should?
No, I think you've covered all bases there.
It's great. Anything anybody else wants to say?
Well, I think because it's a really beautiful love story, but set against that hard, that horrible McCarthyism thing,
yeah.
I think it makes it all the more beautiful. You know, the two extremes, and I think, and with all the sort of the sort of what Rachel was talking about, the Americana, the beautiful attention to detail. Mm. I think it's got it all.
I think it does, yeah. And you really root for these characters. And hopefully also, and it's not, you know, don't be shy to want to be educated about exactly what has been going on for gay people, because I think it's educational. It's really educational. And actually, particularly from a British perspective, to see how American politics, you know, have... evolved over the last sort of 50 years.
And also
60
that
years.
Explosive excitement of a tingling new love affair.
Yeah.
Where you are outrageous in the bedroom and then you're really tender. And
I think that's exactly why it serves a point. Because as a viewer, if you have to go to bed and put yourself to bed and slam down, that's exactly the experience that you want. So you feel like a multi-sensory sort of version. You feel like you're experiencing with them.
Oh, to have to buy a radio.
Yeah, I know.
You won't know what we're referring to unless you watch episode 1.
Turn up Virgin Radio right now.
I think you need to buy a radio. Great. Awesome.
Thank
Jonathan
you.
Bailey.
What a pleasure.
Super, yeah, what a pleasure to have you. Jonathan Bailey, superstarring with all his pals in Fellow Travellers, out now on Paramount+. It's as good as telly gets.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.